You are listening to a Science Actually production.
Watch out! It's Connor. I've got it all, and I'm getting more, but I never thought I'd be the mom, cause you know I'm so humble. I'm a superstar, I kick down the door. Got the money and the bills, and I'm also so humble.
Hit the button.
The thing is, like, I was interviewed for another podcast, and we had a banter conversation for about 40 minutes, and apparently it got its own episode, and it was super weird.
See?
Is this?
Yeah.
Is this Convos with Cordae? Yeah, that was good. I listened to both. That was good banter.
Like, I didn't expect it to be in an episode, especially a dedicated one. That's what it is.
On the last podcast Kavi and I were on with the Space Case Sarah show, she's the host, and she got disconnected for one reason. Mm. And we just kept going. And we're having a good time and making fun of her in a very fun, polite way, saying she has a potty mouth, blah, blah, blah. She did not. She's very sweet. And so she got that, and she used it as promotional material.
That's good. Actually, I want to check.
Ironically, that's kind of like how this show was created. Like, Sarah had to go elsewhere for other work reasons, and we just continued bantering.
Bantered our way to hell into our own podcast. This is our 70th episode.
I know. I follow.
Oh, thank you.
Dave.
So you're the guy. Oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm the guy. And me and Kofi, we had a big conversation about him not understanding the amazing question that I wanted to present you guys. And yeah, you talked about something that I didn't mean. But it's all good. It's all good. He explained everything to me.
I want to hear this question.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Dave submitted a question.
Yeah, I think I remember. Like, I remember what I wanted to ask, which was, let's say I have a planet, a carbonated planet. You know what? Let's not go into definitions. That got so hot, or that it's reflecting radiation.
Yeah.
In a very massive scale. So how can we tell that it's not, for example, let's call it a sun? That it's not an actual a source of energy. It's just like something that reflects it.
Is there something that can reflect a star's worth of energy?
I think I totally misunderstood.
It would have to take it in from somewhere.
Yeah, well, there is a sun. It's just like,
yeah,
we'll think that there are two.
Hold on, is this about its ability to reflect bright light, or to
let's start with the basic,
like thermally?
Well, basic, nothing is basic. Let's say reflect white light.
It would have to be a very cloud-covered body to do that, or an ice-covered body, but it'd be far away.
Anything that just has like near perfect reflectivity, like an albedo of one, kind of.
But
thing.
That would only be in one direction. The direction facing the sun. It couldn't do it on its night side because there's no star there.
Absolutely. Night side. Absolutely. It just like
but
I
radiating
thought
in all directions.
That's why I went with carbon.
I mean, it could be in an ionizing nebula or be surrounded by like multiple stars. Like there are ways to do that, but then I guess from like conservation of energy reasons, you would kind of like that one reflecting object could never be perfectly as bright, certainly not brighter than the things that it's reflecting. And those things would be near enough by that you would be able to identify them, right?
It could be a Dyson sphere, so it reflects entirely all the light back in on its own structure, which has the sun at the middle, but it won't reflect anything from the outside. But it would be, you wouldn't see it, but it would be reflecting in the entire thing because it's in the closed system. Haha, I answered it.
It's just like I'm thinking degree. About something super basic. We have a sun in our solar system, right? And we see and we see other planets because allegedly. The light is being reflected out of them back to us.
Right. But not enough so to be confused sense, right. as a star on its own right.
Yeah, exactly. But what if we have a super huge sun with super like and like a star that and a planet that is absolutely like okay, I'm gonna reflect it. Why? Because I can, and that's it.
I guess if you had a massive enough star,
yeah,
it would illuminate one side of an orbiting body enough to be maybe bright enough as a star. But if it was that bright, it would probably destroy the planet entirely, because that's a lot of power.
But I'm thinking so the relative surface area of this planet, mm-hmm. right, like the size of the mirror that's doing the reflecting, it would be very, very small compared to the star. And I feel like if the star was that massive and that bright, we just wouldn't mm-hmm. end up even being able to see the planets, right? If they were that close. If they're further away. It's a really interesting question. But I don't... I'm confident in our abilities to figure out what's what.
I think this is the first episode that we started off with us being put on the hot seat. I like it.
Well, yeah, someone should.
Just because we're both in Australia doesn't mean that the rules have to be turned upside down. Like, we wanted to get you, Dave, to be here for our 70th episode so that we could ask you questions. Understand more about you, learn about the fascinating person that you are and your
obviously
if that's okay,
you got a full pass, like ask anything. I will share more than you ask more than you're interested probably, but like
let's try it out. Are you a sock shoe kind of guy, or are you a sock shoe kind of guy? Let's go. Let's get deep.
Oh, you mean like the order of me putting things on? Obviously, like there is only one way. It's sock, sock, shoe, shoe.
Okay.
It does it in any other way?
Obviously.
I think that should be an exam, like right? for mental institutions. No offense.
I think if you try to really debate it and answer it correctly and insist you have the right answer, then you're going into the institution. It shouldn't matter.
But it shouldn't matter, but I think I agree with Dave, like there's only one right answer.
I don't know. I've done both.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm not reporting it, but I'll keep that in.
No, I mean, you know, you get your socks. I have my shoes in the garage where I put my shoes. I don't wear the shoes in the house, so I go run out to the garage with my shoes on, but sometimes I grab my socks. Go to the garage and sit next to my shoes, and I sock one up, shoe it up, sock one up, shoe it up. Just get it done. It makes sense.
Let's not go into that rabbit hole, because I think it's very risky. We're walking on a thin ice here, but
the same rabbit hole where all of my missing socks have gone. But I think, Dave, you're a very unique guest to be on this show, because I feel like you're the sort of person who you're scientifically literate, you have a science engineering sort of background. The role that you do, like your actual job, is very technical. But I feel like 99% of the conversations that we have nothing to do with that. We just end up diving deep. We have these deep conversations, which I absolutely love. And I feel like the two are 100% connected, because you have always been the sort of person to just ask questions and follow them and see where they go. And I feel like that's such a useful thing in both science and like the that side of things, but as well as just like a generally wonderful way to live your life.
First, thank you. I try to be very humble, so but still, thank you for the compliment. I don't know if it's, yeah, I don't know if I absolutely agree with it, but like I think that it's a pathway that I decided that I want to take, in a sense. Like, when I was like, I'm still, although I consider myself as an extrovert, I still consider myself also as a super shy person. Mm-hmm. When I went to high school, when I was much younger, because now I'm extremely old, it's not that I wasn't surrounded by people. It was just, I didn't let myself out there in a way, because I was very shy of approaching people and just like, and at some point in life, I realized that there are more people like me that are super shy and don't feel comfortable from the get-go. And although it wasn't aimed for me, I decided, for example, when someone joins a working place, I will take them under my wing as like, I will welcome them. I will make sure that they find company, that they feel comfortable. And the only way of doing that, not that it's my goal, but like, is to talk and to give them the stage and listen. And I think it's a great gateway, especially when you talk to scientists and well-educated people, to talk about their passion. And all of a sudden, it's just like, oh, okay. You learn, like, you studied biology, and you're doing a PhD in astronomy, in physics. Probably you like it, or you're a very sadistic person, one of the two, or both. Sorry. So, and I never met a person that does something and not have this passion to share about it. Maybe he's frustrated at the moment, but it's a matter of time until he just like this fire lights up, and it's a great opportunity to listen and learn something new, which is always a great way, like, to be uneducated, but slightly wiser. I won't even say smarter.
I love that.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah. I think in my professional career, the best jobs I've had are the ones where when you first start off, they want to get to know you first. I mean, they know once the qualifications and everything is all settled and this is how you're going to fit in, getting to know the person individually, mm-hmm. asking them silly questions that have nothing to do with anything, that just starts not just, you know, professional relationship, but also like a personal one. You have your colleagues are your friends, and it makes mm-hmm. everything so much happier and so much easier, and it's fantastic. Like, hey, yeah. How did that whatever thing that you're interested in go over the weekend? Great. Now you don't care what they're going to ask you to do for work, because you just start talking about that fun thing you did. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Honestly, I still remember the first time that I met Kovi, for example, because my partner, she went to do a show, a science comedy, I think it was, or just a science show. And she went there to talk about ecology, but there was this very tall guy, compared to me at least. And he started talking about like stars and coffee, because that was the definition of like, let's talk about temperature. And the easiest way to think about temperature is to have something that you can relate to or like reference point. And I still remember that there are stars that are very cold compared to what we think it should be. So, like, yeah, I think that, like, it was less than 100 degrees, 80, I want to say, or it wasn't that high.
Oh, yeah. It was the temperature, the temperature of this star was, like, I think 400 degrees, but it was the equivalent of however many, like, cups of coffee, which I think are around 80 degrees.
To avoid it.
I don't want to talk about the pizza oven. We don't have to bring this back to pizza oven.
Not everybody's got a pizza oven, but everybody drinks a cup of something hot, so... It was a better analogy, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, cross the wire one.
I was very fortunate to have Dave sitting in the front row of that show.
And you know what's great?
Definitely very fortunate.
I super recommend people who educated and uneducated in the same breath, like, to go to this kind of shows. And maybe there's some, like, you will find yourself going to meetups or, like, gatherings of the same type that are a little bit funny, a little bit more serious, but it's a great opportunity to listen to a subject that maybe you have zero understanding in, and someone creating you this gateway to the subject, and all of a sudden you can lift your hand up and ask the most stupid question for that person, probably, but it's something that will bind you into this topic that you can take it forever, pretty much, from there. And remember about cups of coffee, because I think I asked something in relation to that. Yeah.
I love that. And I also love what you were saying before about the kind of, both of you were talking about this idea of the humanity of coworkers and how beneficial that is, both for them personally, but I guess also for the productivity, or, like, just your ability to do the work better. And it was actually a research study that came out earlier this week about this thing called undertags, where they did a study to see if they would have under the name tags of retail workers some humanizing fact about them, you know, I'm a parent, or I love dogs, or something like that. And they did this, like, massive study to basically determine that when you humanize retail workers, they get less abuse, they get treated nicer, treated better. And, like, okay, you shouldn't need a reminder that the people, you know, serving you behind the counter are also humans, but it's amazing to see how much of a difference those small, totally simple things can make.
Yeah, I totally can see that. So what did you guys want to talk about today?
So,
yeah, I'm sorry that I'm turning it, like, around.
This is great. Go, Kyle, you start.
Benjamin always has a massive list of questions. Not really. He never has. I know where your Google Doc lives. I know. I've seen it.
It's not that big.
Pick one question, and then I have a list of things I wanted to talk about.
I understand that you're an engineer, and every engineer starts their process by asking why. And why do we want to try to make this happen or do or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember a time early in your career? Or maybe even before, as a kid or a student, when your curiosity first started turning towards problem solving? I see something and I want to learn more about it, and I'm going to solve this.
Absolutely. I remember two very big pivot points in my life. Not that I intended to have those. I think the first one was in high school. I didn't know it back then, but first I had, like, I still have ADHD, and I didn't know that I know how to treat it in a way that sits, that works for me. I found myself getting very distracted in the class, And as someone that doesn't take notes, I could come with a single piece of paper through the same one through the entire year, because I didn't write anything. So I would just sit in classes and just stare at the teacher and listen to what she had to say, because most of the time it was a female. And it was really interesting. I would just really devote myself into listening, because that's the only way that I can pass exams. But there is one specific topic which is super difficult to just listen to and pass exams, and that's math.
Yep.
And there was a point, I would get exams, and you have different super difficult questions in algebra and geometry, things that not practicing, because I didn't even study for exams, wouldn't help you that much. And that was the point that I found out that I'm a little bit different, because the reason that I listened was to understand pretty much building blocks. And you would get a question, and a normal person would take 10 lines of getting to the easiest equations and get to the result. But not me, because I didn't study and I didn't prepare myself for knowing equations. I would just get an exam. A single question would take me 3 pages, because somehow I got into the reason why this equation is actually correct without knowing, going into base building blocks of math. I was surprised. I didn't know how it works, but it works. And the second time that I realized something is wrong with me was my first working place, it's not a very popular one, was going to the army. I went through some computer science training, although had zero knowledge in computers, official knowledge, because I thought it's the most boring topic ever existed in high school. And someone came up to me, I finished my basic training, came up to me and said pretty much, listen, today's my last day in the army. And someone told me that after 6 years being here and being super proficient in what I do, you should get the ownership of that topic. Me knowing zero about that topic, absolutely nothing. And he explained me for, 5-6 hours. Actually, I took notes, but the following day he left and I had no idea what he was talking mm-hmm. about. The only thing I remember that there is a database. And I said, okay, if there's a database, the only thing that makes sense, I will go and see the data. And a database, at least back then, was designed in a way that you can see a relation between different tables. You have table that holds information mm-hmm. such as this is a person, this is ID number, social security number, for example. And you have another table that says this is the social security number and the social security number lives in this address. It's two different sources, but you have relation between both. And pretty much through going through this database, I realized connections between different objects. And I realized how this application, the system, works behind the scene without even knowing how it looks like. I just went to the mind of the person that developed it and was able to see pretty much once again the building blocks of his thinking process. And all of a sudden I just realized, there is a web interface for this application. And this application was something that a lot of us are familiar with, which is SharePoint. And I did something very illegal with the product, which is going through its database, because Microsoft, at least back then, prohibited it. And all of a sudden, from a guy that doesn't know anything about SharePoint, I was one of the, and I will flatter myself for a second, but one of the best in the country. So it was just dear God, it was a really fast journey. It's just I can put myself into the thinking process of other people and understand how thinking in a way works as well. And it was very fun, a fun activity, at least for me.
I love the simplicity of that. I love, and just like the blunt kind of honesty of, well, I just wanted to know what the hell was going on. Like, I just wanted to understand. And I feel like, especially for more complex topics, if that is your approach, that's always going to be much better than like, oh, what are the things I need to memorize? What are the formulae I need to memorize? Just like starting from first principles and saying, okay, I just want to understand this, is always guaranteed to not just help you learn things faster, but also to give you a deeper understanding.
And also taking starting with tinkering right away as step one. Like, I see this, I see that. I'm going to tinker and see what I can do on my own and see if I can. I have two things. I want them to communicate, or I want to make a bridge of some kind. And in trying to make that work, you're educating yourself on how to do these things. And it's a double whammy. You're learning by doing. And that's exactly what this is resonating with me so deeply. It's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. And I don't know if Kovi knows, but like, the only degree that I have is a high school diploma. Oh. But I did try to go to, at least let's call it university, twice. I went to study computer science. Like, that was my goal. And I met the dean, and he just, like, based on conversation that I had with him, he said, like, nah, computer science isn't for you. Like, you wouldn't fit it. It's not that interesting for you. And I'm like, okay, so what is? You should go and study applied mathematics. And I'm like, okay. Like, my like, I don't remember equations from high school, but, like, let's give it a go. And I dropped out twice from the same topic, simply because out of, I don't know, let's say 20 different courses that I went to, only one was had the actual, let's call it, professor, lecturer, that invested in us to understand things. The rest were really into us passing exams without explaining us why. And I found it the most draining experience that I can ever have. And I was just like, but I want to understand. I don't want to know. I'm not interested in knowing. I'm interested in, you know, listening and figuring out why. No, it's okay.
I know I get frustrated when I hear about people who teach that way. And like, I've had undergraduate tutorials and workshops that I teach with other people. At the same time, we're all like, you know, one of us gives a spiel at the start describing the topic and providing background, and then the students, you know, all work on their stuff in groups or by themselves, and we walk around helping them. And the number of times that I've heard the other tutors say to the students, oh, don't worry, you don't have to understand that, just do this, it infuriates me. It's one of the least helpful things that you can say to a person, because quite frankly, like, I don't care. Obviously, you know, I want you to do well, and I want you to get a good grade, and I want you to continue and you know, all of the stuff that looks good on paper and allows you to progress. But what's really important to me, and the reason that I teach, is to help people understand how amazing the universe is, and to further their insights and their knowledge. And so, yeah, I it's so frustrating to hear that you also had that experience, and that probably prevented you from learning so much more. But I mean, it's still amazing that like you managed to get where you are today just based on following your own path. I love that.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's a very common approach, and I'm not here to talk about like geoeconomics and things like that, because I'm very unfamiliar with the topic. But I think it's not geoeconomics, but like this, you have like different approaches, and like the capitalist way, maybe it's encouraging us getting into measurable results much faster. And I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. but in a sense, we're neglecting things that aren't measurable as fast, which is understanding, because you just need to show me the money. And I do like the approach, don't get me wrong. I do like, well, to a degree, money. But, yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm curious, you mentioned that you were kind of noticing in high school already that you had ADHD, and I'm curious how that ties into this approach for learning. Like, if you want to focus on the basics, is that how do you kind of take the good parts of ADHD and not the bad parts in this sort of learning process?
That's a tough question, and a good one as well.
That's a good one, yeah.
I think you can look at ADHD in a most basic way, getting distracted. And to get distracted means that you need to have a couple of sources of let's call it stimulants or information at the same time. And because that there's so much noise, it's really easy to, well, it's not easy, but it's very natural to connect those noises into a single stream of let's call it of sound, because, and all of a sudden it's just like, okay, let's go once again to building blocks. Although I didn't study physics, but like if you take chemistry and you take physics together, all of a sudden it's just like, bam. Like you can understand very complex processes that happens in nature, and like, well, let's call it nature, but like there's like not animals and plants only, but like also stars, I assume, because it's also a combination of like different disciplines. And it just like, because I have like those different streams in my head, it's just like, oh, okay, I'm actually thinking of two different ways combining into one, like two different problems or two different ways of thinking, and like, okay, and I can take a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and create this total mess that might work. And I think it's a very common issue, like these days, like if I look around myself, the people that I'm surrounded with, a lot of the scientists that I know, or like the people that go to and study for their PhD are pretty much the same thing. Like they look at things in the same way, and like a lot of them actually have ADHD, which is like very surprising, because you're supposed to be bad at school.
It's because they find something that's like this minute little thing, and it's somehow it's able to capture their interest enough that they can just turn off the things. I mean, there's like the you like this, you like this, you like this, you like this, and your attention's all over the place. But once in a while, there's that one shiny thing that just resonates, and it sticks in your head, and you just want to do a deep dive. And that's how you get all this incredible work done, or incredible research done. Or in my case, I have a stupid idea of something I want to count. I can't stop myself from counting it, and I'm going to do a real big, long explanation for the world as to this thing I counted and why I counted it and the patterns I found and what I counted. It's fantastic. I think having a little touch of ADHD also opens the door for some one little flash of hyper focus that turns out a ridiculous result for me.
I love it.
Like, I want to ask a question regarding that, because that actually interests me. But like, okay,
bring it.
When you select a topic, something that you want to study, do you go with one vector of information, one, let's call it, dimension of study? Like, okay, I just want to study, for example, temperature of planets, but I'm not going to take into account and light radiation, or I don't know if light radiation is like light into the equation. I'm just gonna consider, I don't know, working with a single stream of like I don't know, element into that of that, or do you combine things?
Well, I don't really study stars. Kavi studies stars.
Yeah, well, I mean, as example, as example.
Like for me personally, when I start counting something, it just has to be something random, and it just like the way I explain it is like an earworm. You hear a song, or your brain thinks of a song, and you have that itch in your head, and it will not go away until you listen to that song. You have to figure out what it is, go play it, and a few times maybe, and then you're like, okay, the itch is gone. For me, I could be doing anything, and like I was telling Kavi just before we started, I don't know, something that I looked at flags the other day, and my brain just thought, I wonder how many flags are around the world. How many of them have stripes? How many don't? How many have stars? How many don't? Okay, well, I'll just get on the open up a spreadsheet here, and I'll list all the countries, and I'll make a column for stripes and a column for stars. And then I realized, yes, they have stripes and stars, or no, they have, yes or no for each category is not enough. How many stripes? How many stripes? You know, that's not enough. What colors are the stripes? How many points are on the stars? That's
more
not
dimensions,
enough, right? And I started doing this big deep dive, and I finally finished it a couple of days ago. And now I'm starting to create a nice big data visualization about flags, but not just which ones I think are pretty, but you know, what are the mathematical averages of flags? And for me, that is, it's not just time well spent, it's like bliss. I don't know how to explain it, and I can't impress upon my family as to why this is something I'm going to spend my time doing, but I'm going to do it, and it makes me so happy.
I can tell you a secret. I absolutely love flags as well.
There Boom! Is a game. There Great is a minds game think alike. You need Fun to with flags.
The country by the flag, and you know what? I'm going to challenge you.
Okay.
I don't know if you're ready. Which country has there's only one country in the world with pink in its flag?
Sri Lanka.
No.
I saw it. I have it in my. You know what?
It's Mexico.
Hold on. I have it in my data. There's only one country with pink. I have it. It's Mexico. Down there in the bottom corner.
Yeah.
Right there in the crest underneath its eagle.
Yeah.
Yep. There it is.
The
no.
cactus fruit.
It's like there's cacti or cactuses, but there's also one little thing on the side that has pink. There's a couple with purple.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Wow. It's a fun thing to do. Quantifying stupid things that don't matter, and it's wonderfully fun.
I agree. And you know what? You said something that maybe will explain how my brain works. So you talked about music. I have a major problem when I listen to music. You have a song, and in my brain, I can actually hear each and every playing instrument on a different track. Like I can isolate the drums, only listen to the drums. I can isolate even the bass, which is like very low. And like this, like everything eventually is merged into one stream of sound, but like I can turn it on and off. There
That's
is a
awesome,
game,
actually.
There is a game of like, okay, you need to recognize the song based on different tracks. And I love this game because it's just like, okay, it's Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's super easy. And like the first is just like the tempo. And it's just like, damn, that's fun.
Well, Red Hot Chili Peppers is kind of easy.
Yeah, well, it depends which song. And believe me, knowing, like recognizing only by the bass line is challenging.
I love bass players. I have a lot Pretty list rough. Of favorite bass players. And they all have their certain styles that you can kind of pick up, which is ridiculous.
Well, honestly, Philly's got its own, like, very distinct style of, like, ska-like.
Yes, he does.
And, like, so it is easy, but, yeah.
I have to say one thing on the previous point, which is that what you are describing, Benjamin, on your flag journey is the scientific method. And like the perfect example that I can think of is supernovae, exploding stars, right? Like at first we discovered stars that would appear out of nowhere, right? In Chinese right. astronomy, yeah. they were called guest stars. And you know, this thing that appears, it's like, it's okay, whatever. And once we actually realized that they were exploding stars, we called them supernovae. And then at a certain point, astronomers doing follow-up observations were able to look at the different chemical composition of the stuff in the explosion. And they found there were two types, right? And they make these distinctions based on the chemical composition. And it's like, okay, we have type 1 supernovae and type 2 supernovae. But then as our data stream gets better, as we start getting deeper into understanding, oh, hold on, this is the sort of progenitors, like the other star that's in the system. This is the particular chemistry. This is the way the star's evolving. This is the type of star, right? We're talking about hydrogen emission and helium emission and all of these different things. And in one case, it's a white dwarf. And in one case, it's a massive star collapsing. And you end up going from type 1, type 2, to you have type 1A, type 1B, type 1C, type 2, type 2N, type 2P. And at a certain point, you realize that the level of complexity that you can reach is purely a matter of your ability to keep track of discrete phenomena. It does, it, you know, and so I love how you've just like accidentally rediscovered the scientific method, and that's the method that works for you. And it's, yeah, for people who are just listening, like Benjamin's just basically gone, yep.
I'm doing a little dance.
Rediscovering.
Yeah. I'm doing the scientific method discovery dance. You should do that.
And maybe this whole astronomy thing started by someone asking themselves, hey, how many flags out there? Exactly.
Connecting the dots to make flags. Instead of how many flags have stars, how many stars can be made into flags?
Absolutely. No, I love it. I love it. And you know what? Eventually, it's the most amazing question that you ask, that you can do. Well, it's not even a question, because like you find yourself asking how much, how, why, and like it's just like that's how science actually like started. It's like you have this great people like, man, I'm sorry that I'm taking it into biology. But like you have like this monk Mendel who decided like, okay, I'm gonna study peas. Why the hell did they look the same, for example?
Yeah.
It's the most odd question. Like I don't find myself asking too much about peas, but it's just like, hey, here's a soup and an interesting phenomenon. Let's check it out. So maybe you will find yourself lecturing about flags anytime soon, and in Cornell or any other amazing university out there.
Well, to the ADHD point, once I'm finished the flag thing, which whenever I'll finish it, whatever, I'm going to be very proud of it. I'm going to share it publicly. This is my pattern. I'm going to realize I could have done a little more of a deeper dive on one little small part of it. I'm going to update it, and then I'm going to move on, and I'm going to find the next big thing. So then I'm going to, it's over. The flag thing is going to be over, and I'm just going to go do something else until I find the next thing I need to count, which is God knows what it'll be. I can't wait to find out. But I mean, I don't like football, American football, and I'm an American. But somebody mentioned to me once, a quarterback did something absolutely phenomenal. And the whole group of people said, way to go, Mr. Irrelevant. And I'm thinking, why are you calling him such a mean name? Because he just did something amazing. And then I found out there's a whole story about the NFL draft, and the number didn't make sense. Why would you say something negative about something so extremely positive on the other end of the spectrum? And so then I did this huge deep dive in the history of this nickname, Mr. Irrelevant, and I found out it was this beautiful story, and it actually holds no water. There is no reason to call someone Mr. because everybody on that list is actually very good. And it's just, and then I moved on to the next thing, counting how many people invest on Shark Tank. Now I'm counting flags. A lot of baseball stuff and Shohei Ohtani making that little, you remember that, Kavi, the little split flat board, whatever. I saw one. I thought, I want to build one, and I need to make it work in English and in Hebrew and in Klingon and in Star Wars languages. And in this, made it. And then I just put it away.
Ah, that's amazing. That's fun.
I think I'm going to introduce it to my next new best friend.
Yeah,
I love it. I love his little projects. All right, we are rapidly running out of time. I think we're going to have to do.
I would love
a
to.
Second part to dive. Yeah. To a deep dive into Dave in part two. We will definitely need to do that. Deep dive, Dave. But for now, and I'm sure you know what's coming as a fan of the show, we are going to dive into our rapid fire round of questions and quibbles.
Okay, let's go for it. Let's go for it. I'm not ready, but let's go for it.
Someone who's ready would say they're not ready, just to throw you off.
Exactly. Oh, Dave definitely listened to enough episodes that he knows the questions I'm going to ask off by heart. All right. So what was the weirdest thing that you believed as a kid?
Dear God, I need to think about something really good. No, I don't have nothing. I don't think nothing was weird back then. I don't know. Okay, I'll be honest. I don't remember anything from my childhood. Bad question. No, I'm kidding.
He was born a fully formed
adult. It's the bad person. It's not the right person for the question. That's right.
Okay. Everything made sense when he was a kid. Okay, fair next enough. Question. Which teacher had the biggest positive impact on you?
It will sound odd. My Bible teacher, because he was a decent, good person, like absolutely good person. Like what happened is I was really good in Bible studies. I don't know why, because I didn't read as well, but I would just listen in class and I would get like amazing grades, really amazing grades. And all of a sudden my father passed away when I was a kid. And my grades dropped from like 90, 95 to 20. Wow. Something horrible. And he didn't give up on me. He said like, okay, it's a matter of time until you get back. It took me a year and a half to get back.
That's a big thing.
But like still believing in me, that gave me like, okay, I'm going to believe in teacher as well.
That's amazing. Yeah. Is this what you want from a teacher? So nice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. It's not a quick question answer.
No. This it's is not that part rapid. Of this thing. These are questions and quibbles, not quick questions and quibbles.
Yeah.
What's one scientific discovery you wish you could have witnessed in person?
I need to think about it. I think it got to do more about psychology, understanding the minds of people. And understanding that a lot of the stuff that we base our life on is actually based on anxiety, out of all things. Like, I think in a way that the will to learn and understand things is also driven out of anxiety, because it's just like, oh my God, why is it like that? Like, in a sense, just like, I have to know.
Nice.
That's so cool.
So if you had to pick one historical scientist to go bowling with, who would it be?
I would probably pick someone who's really bad at it, because I would like to win. let's go actually with Nikola Tesla. I would go for them because I have no idea about like that area of expertise. So at least I'll win from winning the game, or I'll learn something new. Win-win situation.
You'd be great. You'd beat him because I believe he stopped all work at 8:10 p.m. for dinner. Because he was like such a stickler to the actual time of day, of evening. So if you start playing in the middle, I don't know, 7:30, he would walk away. So you'd win by forfeit because he was just a squirrely, weird guy.
Maybe I'm really good at bowling, you know. Just want to mention. I'm okay.
Note to self, take Dave bowling.
Yeah.
All right. A serious question. If you were a sandwich, what kind of sandwich would you be?
You take a pita bread, you open it up, smear a load of hummus or hummus, depends how you call it, and put pickles inside. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Hummus and pickles.
Nice.
And pickle.
Chef's kiss.
Love. Very basic.
Love.
If it makes you happy, makes you happy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It makes me hungry.
Right. What is your most controversial opinion about pizza?
It's something that probably everybody mentions, but like pineapple on a pizza, that's actually tasty.
But yes.
Pineapple. Yes.
Market
and
my color.
Spicy as well, like pineapple and chili pizza will blow your mind.
A little sweet, a little hot, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And salty, like yeah, all layers, umami out of the tomato and like all flavor layers. Yeah.
The complete flavor profile. Yeah. Love it. What would you say is your favorite scientific word or phrase?
Theory.
Okay.
Ooh.
That ties into what is your least favorite scientific word or phrase?
I don't know if it can be considered scientific, but like because I will say, or outcome maybe, because it's temporary. In my eyes, it's temporary until someone finds a better outcome or a better result.
I will allow it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's just like in a way when you say like this is the result, it means that nobody should continue checking it out. It's like that's the final destination. And like, no, it's not.
It's interesting because I feel like the longer I spend in my particular field, at least in science, the more I see results as a challenge, right? Like someone who I've worked kind of in parallel circles, published a great paper recently, and I saw the result in the paper and I was like, I want to do more. I want us. Not just me, like I want our community to like do more on this. I want to probe this. I want to test it. I want to confirm, you know, like to me, a result is like a challenge waiting to be taken on.
I don't want it to be the finished one.
Yeah, that's cool.
Like that way around.
Yeah.
You know what? I proved that like probably some like mathematical equations are correct using that like unknowingly. So yeah.
All right. What would you say is your favorite useless science fact?
There is none. Like I don't think. Like I'm trying to think of one, but like no, everything is fun. Like you know, even if it's useless, at least it's fun because it's something that you can point out to other people and they will laugh at it. Like I would actually. The reason that I remember your talk about coffee. And stars, you can find it as very hilarious, kind of like who measures temperature by coffee cups, but like, hey, no offense, it's really important, It's not useless, but it's just like everything is gotta use. It's just like, yeah, I love it.
I should point out that this was Aaron Reich's idea. Like, this is the same guy who wanted to measure asteroids in units of Taylor Swift's.
That's good. That's absolutely good.
That's good.
Like, I'm not a fan. No offense, Taylor, if you're listening, and you probably are. It's just like not my style so much, but like, continue doing an amazing work. We believe in you. Yeah, don't stop.
Taylor, if you're listening.
Okay, hi. All right. If you could rename one planet in our solar system, which one would it be and what would you call it?
I would actually take Pluto. Actually, you said star.
I said star?
Oh, planet.
If you could rename one planet in our solar system, what would you call it?
I would take Pluto, and I will change it to Pluto and Dave, just for the sake of me being there as well. I won't take the entire credit. I would just like take some.
That's awesome.
You know, PND. PND. Here you go, PND.
Would you rename the moons as well?
Actually, I really like the names, at least, of like Europa and like all sorts of moons out there. They're amazing names. They're absolutely amazing. And you know what? A lot of them are named after, I want to say, maybe I'm wrong, but like mythology, like gods and like it's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's fun. It's a gateway to like ask yourself, why is it called this way? And like go deep dive into things. So yeah, I love it. Whoever named them did really good job.
Nice.
Yeah.
Much better than B1267A-. I don't know why. Please stop doing that. Kofi, if you find something,
I feel like
stop.
Benjamin's itching to tell you about
anything.
Not going to say anything about Uranus's moon.
Uranus's moon should be called dingleberries instead of moon.
I love that.
Whoa.
What? It's got 17 dingleberries. This one's named this. This one's named what? They are.
Named after Shakespearean characters. Is what? I was
it could be
for
a dingleberry named Umbrian and whatever.
Okay, I have a term as well. Let's say there is a planet with a single moon. Let's call it mistletoe.
Mistletoe.
Just it. Yeah. All right. Scientific term.
Last question.
I've lost track. last one. Okay, so if you had to sing one karaoke song, Dave, to save humanity from an alien invasion, you have to do it. You have to save us. What song would it be?
Nice. Nice.
Is that the second time that we've gotten that? I think so. I think that there is another amazing guest that we had who gave a similarly amazing answer to that question.
Well, I have been breaking them down into small YouTube and TikTok shorts, so it'll be easy for us to go back and catalog them all and put them in the spreadsheet, because that's probably now I have my new itch. There it goes. Thank
you. I love it. And you know what we can do next? Well, you can do next. Take the songs, break it down into like different tracks, and see if there is a pattern.
God damn it. Play them all over each
in
other.
In genre, right? Or year or artist.
Drum
or BPM.
Bit, for example.
Ooh, ay.
I'm sorry. It sounds like fun. It sounds like something super fun.
It does sound fun. Benjamin, I think for the first time ever, a guest has given you homework before our next episode when we have Dave on again.
My homework. I'm ready to go. That's a little sketch of Pluto down there. It says P and D on it. It's very nice.
I'm sorry.
Amazing. Dave, thank you. Thank you so much for joining us. This has been wonderful. If people want to get in touch with you, I don't know how much you want to do like social plugs, but if you would like, is there a way that people can find you online? Or?
First of all, thank you for having me, especially on the 79 on episode number 70. I'm super fortunate, and like in a way, it's a dream coming true because I listening like I'm a true fan. And secondly, regarding how to reach me out, I encourage people to reach me out, especially for the people that didn't go to university, that are challenged. Like, do find asking questions as something, and maybe even have ADHD. Dave Scorpions, one word on Instagram. Feel free to like for puppy pictures and photos, especially white ones and fluffy ones, in case I post them.
In case you happen to be posting photos of my dog.
Let's not go into details.
And Benjamin, do you want to remind folks where they can find you and find our episodes?
I'm running out of supply soon, so you'll find me at Costco probably tomorrow or Saturday. And online, you can find me at Science Actually, Facebook and Instagram and all the other ones. Look for the Science Actually logo. And, of course, you can find this wonderful show, The Nerd and the Scientist, anywhere you get your podcasts, and look on YouTube and TikTok. If you found the duck with Saturn's rings, that's us. How about you, Kavi? Where's you? Where you be at?
Folks can find me at Fun Fact Science on all of the socials. I guess regularly, folks can find me here doing my favorite thing to do every week. Thank you both. Benjamin, thank you for 70 fun episodes. Dave, thank you for the 70th episode.
thank you so much. It's fun.
Yeah.
Honestly, though, I didn't prepare that well because that's just the way I do it. I don't believe in preparing. I personally don't really like preparers. They're annoying people generally. Like, you know, what's like, hey, I really prepared for this. Well, you're a coward. You know, why don't... Where's your sense of adventure? How important is it that you... Like, you know, why set yourself up for that? You know what I mean? So everyone's this careerist culture, you know, this sort of like trajectory thing. You know, it's going to kill you. You're going to end up lonely at the end and not doing what you want to do. Don't prepare, man. Just load up. I think that's the key. I think I'm rationalizing, though. Clearly, I'm rationalizing. Because like, that's my system. I mean, this is my system. It's right there on the floor. Why did I bring notebooks out here? What, am I going to look at notebooks? Is that why I brought them out here? It's ridiculous. I'm more professional. I've been doing this half my fucking life. I'm going to bring notebooks out. It's to prove a point. It's to prove a point. I'll show you in a minute. I don't prepare because, look, it's my system. How's that? In my mind, if I don't prepare and I pull this off, I'm a fucking genius. I'm a genius. Right? And if I don't pull it off, I didn't prepare. If I would have set my mind to it, I would have nailed that shit.